All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 108, and I'd like to welcome you to the home of the pissed off American. The whole premise behind my show, American Vindicta, is to try and disclose to those who don't know it yet that America is filled with pissed off, red-blooded Americans who will not sit down and take this lightly, who are not going to stand on the sidelines and watch our country deteriorate from underneath us. America, we are taking a stand, and I am proud of you for that. From the teachers' meetings to the anti-protest protests, from, you know, Florida Governor DeSantis repealing Disneyland's own ability of having a personal government, to people combating, finally, the LGBTQRS movement. Even today, to Elon Musk, who has now bought Twitter for $44 billion. Free speech has been under attack in this country for quite a while. And, you know, my history in law enforcement, especially federal law enforcement, it makes me realize the turning point that we're in, because I remember going to many protests from, you know, black right activists to Hispanic activists, white activists, people that had all different types of, you know, societal protests of any kind, all the way to the extreme versions of that, which would be Portland and Antifa. And I have been a part of these questions for a while. Are police too heavy-handed? Is the government too heavy-handed? Well, I don't know about the police part. I mean, you know, I can't control every police officer and their actions nor their departments, and I wouldn't want to. However, I can tell you this much. If you start throwing stuff at us, we're going to throw stuff back at you. So it's a give and let give kind of situation there. However, I would think that, you know, as many times as I've seen the left sit there and protest, we've even had people from the right come up and try to stop what they were saying, and we stood in the way. Even if I don't like it, it's the ability to allow people to have a platform to speak. And that's kind of like what's happening with Elon Musk right now. You know, the government and all the pukes that are out there that prop up the left, they have completely shadow banned people, taken people down, like Alex Jones and President Trump and, you know, Roger Stone and many others that are out there that are talking about this today. I was watching InfoWars, and I was watching when, you know, Alex announced that it was going to be Elon Musk was going to take over Twitter. I said, man, you know, that's great. It's just one more tool that we can have in our tool bag, and one less that the left can have. But here's my thing. Whose side is Elon really on? Elon is not a conservative. He's not a Republican. He may, you know, share some of our uniqueness, but, you know, he is a free, independent thinker. He's a radical, as what the Democrats would call him. So because of that, he's treated very much like a radical. Now, in a lot of ways, I admire and I like Elon Musk. I question some of the technological motives, but, you know, at the same time, I'm also adult enough to understand that not everybody on this world is going to think the same. But Elon, at least, is adult enough to understand as well that if you play with the artificial intelligence, you may create the doomsday Terminator scenario. And he firmly believes that, and I agree with him. You know, all the other advancements in technology that he wants to come up with, hey, maybe it's good, maybe it's not. I'm not exactly a fan of wrapping the entire world in satellites because satellites are used to spy. But, you know, I can't stop that. So even with the promise of, you know, instant internet, which would be great for what I do now, it still makes me shake my head and wonder. Now, I will say this. I think Elon Musk is going to, even though he has purchased Twitter, I don't think much is going to change at first. I don't know. I think the best thing that could happen is that Elon Musk tells the people who take care of all the logistical, technical stuff of Twitter to allow it to be a free speech portal. Allow people to speak. You know, the moment we start to take down people's rights to speak, I've been in those countries, and some of you listening to me, you've been in those countries where you don't have a voice, you don't have a right, you don't own a weapon, you don't own your body. But at the same time, even though the government completely tells you what to do, there are bodies of people within your country, that outside of the United States country, that are warlords and can get away with atrocities because there's no freedom of speech, there's no right to redress grievances, there's no right to self-protection through a Second Amendment, there's no right to an unlawful seizure, which is the Fourth Amendment. You know, it's there's no trial by your peers. So, you know, America is very blessed with the way our Constitution is wrote. We are not blessed with how we enforce it. You know, what Elon Musk is doing right now should inspire other people that, you know, just imagine if we all, I don't know, a conglomeration of us were able to pool in our money. And we were able to buy out Disneyland, throw it all away, you know, buy it all out, throw it all away. Because that's honestly, it's pedo land now. It's not Disneyland. It's pedo land. You know, but I will say this, with the right to freedom of speech, there are some people out there that we don't agree with. And the ethical question comes, well, does everybody have a right to speak? To what extent do you not have the right? Well, I think if you're peddling child pedophilia, or child rape is what it should be called, you should not have a right to speak. If anything, you shouldn't have a tongue. But thank God Wrecker will never be a president. I would change this country so fast. But, you know, this is the problem, is people want change, but then they don't want gross amounts of change. And in America, if we want to survive what's coming, that's what we will need to do. But the problem is, the majority of Americans do not work or function on the level of these billionaires and these conglomerate billionaire trillion-dollar companies. So because these companies and these extremely rich people have their influences, they can dictate to the government what needs to be done to the people. Does that sound fair to you? Does that sound like America? Or does that sound like one of the old English lords? 2022. This may be a year of infamy. We may win back the House and the Senate. And I say may. But if we don't, God help us all. This is going to be a very important time for voting. I am I am a proponent of voting, not electric votes, electric bills. I say we go back to paper bills and we have people counting. And what should happen is that there should be law enforcement or military at every single station where there is voting. For one thing, so that there's no intimidation or harassment. Two, so that there is intimidation and harassment on the voter, or excuse me, on the counter of the votes. Because what didn't happen in 2020 was they, the Democrats, were able to count votes in areas where no one could see it. Well, if it's done out in the open, under the threat of the baton and the M4, you're probably going to count that vote correctly. And look, you know, say what you want. I side on the avenue of peace many times, but I also don't. Occasionally someone needs to be made an example of. You know, just imagine if you were living in China and the Democratic and Republican Party wanted to, you know, exclude one another and violate laws and use methods of intimidation, harassment. That way, you know, people could or could not vote correctly or could or could not count the votes correctly. The Chinese government would shoot you. The Chinese government would take you into the front of wherever you are, in front of everybody, and beat you to death with batons. We've seen them do it. But that is not the society we need. But if we don't take control of our country, that's the society we're going to get. So part of that take back and control, hopefully right now, is what Elon Musk is doing with Twitter. I like what I see, Elon. I hope you do the right thing to benefit us all. God be with you on your journey. But here's the other part of this. We still have a lot of other things happening around this country right now. We have the what appears to be the potential for the lockdowns to come back. I guess that's going back to the airlines and college campuses for face masks. Just when you thought we were done with the schmuckery, here it comes back again. And what convenient timing, right? I would love to see the data that says we need to do this. I mean, no one even talks about COVID now. I don't even think mainstream's talking about COVID now. You know, they don't have a death toll counter going on. The hospitals aren't making you, you know, wait 100 feet away and be, you know, laser thermometered from outside. That's not happening right now. So why do we need to go back into the lockdowns? Consider that, America. There's a narrative being wrote there. So let's take a little bit of a hint of the news. The tunnel fire that is in Flagstaff is considered to be the worst of the decade. There's an article off of Epoch Times. Michelle Ryan, who took immediate action when she received the emergency text message telling her it was time to go. Go meaning that the tunnel fire near her home on the outskirts of Flagstaff, Arizona, had reached a critical level. The only thing left to do was to evacuate the area. She said, I just started grabbing clothing from my drawer and loading up my family belongings. I'm going to stop right there. Listen to what she said. I just started grabbing clothing from my drawer and loading up family belongings. Okay. Perfect example. You don't have to live in doomsday apocalypseville in order to have any types of proper preparation. You know, and when I say a go bag, I don't mean it needs to have your zombie machete on it, and it needs to have 20 different tactical patches on it. Just have something set aside, clothes and shoes you don't wear, for you and your family, a little bit of money inside of it, copies of your documents, and trust me, copies of your documents, you know, the deed to your home, your insurance, your birth certificates, you know, your social security cards, everything that you can think of, your marriage certificate. You need to put copies of that inside like a briefcase with all your clothes and all that junk in there with extra money. So that needs be at least you can grab that one thing and get out of Dodge. The problem with wildfires is that depending on the gusts of the wind, it can really jump. And I mean, it can jump hundreds of feet. You know, I've seen it done within my own area before. So it's real high winds right now. It's not a good time for wildfires. Obviously, it's never a good time for wildfires. But it's also not a good time to not prepare. So if you're within that Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado corridor, please make sure you have something set aside. Like what I've said, some sort of preparation set aside that you can just snag it and run if needs be. All right, so let's move on to something else. So I don't know if you've heard about this or not. Once again, the interesting world that we live in. So this is an article from InfoWars. Russia says it has destroyed weapons delivered by U.S. and EU. And that's obviously in Ukraine. And I've seen the video of it. And I don't... Oh, golly. The thing is that what we delivered, they could have very well used. I'm sure they didn't destroy everything. Because if it has any type of technology in it, they're going to keep it. They're going to keep it. They're going to replicate it. They're going to use it against us. That's what I would do. All right, so let's get in this article. Russian forces have destroyed a logistics terminal in Odessa that held a large batch of foreign weapons, Moscow said on Saturday, amid its ongoing military offensive in Ukraine. However, the city's authorities claimed that its air defense group destroyed two missiles, but that another four hit a military target and residential buildings, leading to victims. It was not immediately clear if the civilian buildings were hit as a result of attempts by Ukrainian forces to strike down the missiles initially aimed at a military target. According to Russian military spokesman Major General Igor Konashenkov, in the afternoon he said high-precision, long-range air-launched missiles hit a logistics terminal located on a military airfield near Odessa, where a large batch of foreign weapons received from the United States and European countries was stored at. Russia has repeatedly warned NATO against sending arms to Ukraine and stated that it would consider arms convoys to be legitimate military targets. Hey, I think that's par for the course, to be honest with you. You know, you can be anti-Russian, pro-Russian, pro-Putin, anti-Putin. I really don't care. I look at this just from my military background and, you know, seeing what I would do. I would consider anything bringing in ordnances, which, I mean, missiles, explosives, high caliber ammunition, or stocks of ammunition. I would be targeting that. Absolutely. Because the more I can deprive it from my enemy, the less I have to worry about eventually. Now, Odessa's regional emergency services earlier had said that as a result of the, quote, enemy shelling, a 16-story residential building caught on fire. It was put out about 2.5 hours later. And at this point, what the authorities were saying was at this point, it is known that 6 people died, including 1 child, and 18 people were injured. 2 were rescued from the rubble. 86 evacuated. At this very moment, 8 people have died. 18 and 20 have been injured. A 3-month-old child died. A 3-month-old child was killed. When the war started, this child was just 1 month old. Can you imagine this? That says President Vladimir Zelensky. Now, once again, they're going to keep trying to paint Russia as the bad guys. And that's regardless if they are or if they aren't. There's a narrative here. They want to paint Russia as the bad guys, and every strategic strike that Russia does is going to be sloppy, according to our press and according to Zelensky. There's collateral damage in war. When you hide munitions and your troops amongst the people who can't flee, well, those are still military targets. That's why the term collateral damage is used. You know, don't hide amongst the civilian populace. Now, that's just my opinion. Now, according to the press office of Ukraine's South Air Command on Saturday, the air defense group had destroyed two cruise missiles allegedly launched by Russian Tu-95 strategic aircraft from the Caspian Sea, and two operational tactical level UAVs, which is an unmanned aerial vehicle or a drone, which presumably corrected the flight of the cruise missiles and placed active obstacles to air defenses. So that means it was probably jamming signals. Unfortunately, two missiles hit a military facility and two missiles hit residential buildings. Yeah, very unfortunate. Like, this is one of those things, people, that I just want you to take and to consider. If this was America, all right, if what's happening in Ukraine was happening in America, you have to consider, especially all you leftists out there who are completely clueless, your government is not going to be there to save you. Your government's not going to be there, you know, to pull you out of all of the rubble unless they're close to you and if they can dispatch someone to you. I said this before, I'll continue to say it. You need to keep prepping. You need to be able to learn to self-rescue. You know, there's a reason why a lot of us rednecks and good old boys, we have a lot of the stuff that we have because we're very reliant upon our own skills. It wouldn't hurt for many of you to learn to rely upon your own skills as well. That way you don't have to rely upon others who may or may not show up. I think it's very pertinent in our times right now as Americans when we see the food stocks are starting to go away. You know, you can only buy like 3 items of a certain like food produce right now at Walmart. So, you know, consider your options. I would tell you that if it were up to me, if I had a farm to market, that's where I'd be shopping. I would go and support the local communities at the farm to markets, and then I would see how I can help out with continuing their production of produce, because it's going to be a staple for survival. You know, it's just weird times right now. The vibe's weird in the air. There's not a lot of chaos and calamity happening. So because of that, we start focusing on other parts of the news and we, you know, kind of slow down with our train of thought with self-preservation and self-preparation. You know, I've said this before, I'll say it again. One of the many things that you should be learning to do right now, especially if you got kids, taking your kids out into the woods, teaching them how to make camp, how to, you know, build a cooking fire. You know, it, not just the fact that it's something fun to do, to unplug from technology, go camping with the kids, teach them something, but it's good practice for you. You never know when you have to do this. So, practice, practice, practice. For anyone who may or may not be into tactical medicine, one thing for you not to forget is that many of your dressings within your tactical bags, you know, your combat medicine, your hemostatic gauze or bandages, they have expiration dates on them. Check them. If they're, you know, like a year or two beyond the expiration date, I just keep them and throw them in another bag, and I'd buy some new fresh ones. I just recently had some new fresh ones come in because I had some medical stuff from like 5 years ago. I'm not getting rid of it. It's still useful. It's just like the coagulating agents from the hemostatic bandage may not activate as well once it touches blood. So just consider that. Keep your gear fresh. Speaking of keeping your gear fresh, been talking with Bob Griswold. And sometime in the near future, I am going to be putting together a active shooter awareness class. We're going to figure out where we want this venue to be at. And it's going to be a couple day course. I think it's only going to be able to settle like 30 people in it. But the reason behind it is because I want those of the church, the church security members, I want your pastors to go. Even if they're not participants, just watch the training. Having an active shooter awareness training class is always a good refresher, especially since it comes from someone like myself. I used to give it for the government professionally. It's a passion of mine to train and instruct people. I absolutely love doing it, especially on the range or, you know, any of the grappling or fighting techniques. That stuff's always fun to do. But I take it serious because my wife's family at her church, they had a very serious double homicide on the steps of the church. And that took place between a divorced couple. The wife and her family, which was the mother, the father, the brother, and the sister, ambushed the ex-husband and his fiance, I believe, at the church while my wife's grandmother was there. She was part of the whole parental rights viewing agreement. And because she was just there for witnessing. And, you know, the ambush happened. So you are never, you know, even at church, you're never really safe. And I think it's foolish in today's day where we have the technology, the availability and means for weaponry to protect ourselves and training to get people properly trained. I think it's foolish that we don't see more security teams, especially in Texas. You don't have to have a license. You know, you just have to have something that says church security team. You can't look like a guard. You can't look like a cop. You know, but you can be uniformed, obviously. But, you know, you can have a assembly of men or women. I don't care. As long as you're, you know, a gifted shooter. You know, just having something around. Because I've studied active shooter, been involved with this stuff for a long time. It's not going away. The reason why I say this is because I think we're going to come into a summer to fall of, you can call them false flags, you can call them whatever you want, but there's going to be bloodshed. One of the most vulnerable places is the church. So if we have the means and availability and manpower to protect it, then why aren't we? You know, I actually took a concealed handgun license to carry class about 2 weeks ago, which I've just been dragging my feet on it. But, you know, for 10 years, I didn't have to have it. So now I do. And I always open carry. But, you know, I see more and more why I want to go back to concealed carry. And during the class, I was talking to the gentleman who was instructing the class. And I just found it interesting that there was a lot of these topics that I am still extremely familiar with, especially with, you know, use of force and tactics and some laws here and there. And I just felt, you know what, it's a good way to give back to the community. If I could put on a seminar or a class, help fund what I'm doing here, but also give people the information and the hands-on experience, because you don't get many professional shooters to train people, especially for active shooter style training. Most of the time it's limited just to law enforcement. So, you know, I like teaching people use of force, especially as civilians. I like teaching people how to use de-escalation techniques instead of consistently escalating and going to a gun just because you're scared and confused. It may not always be the best thing to do. So, you know, if you're anything like me, you like training, pay attention. I'll let you know probably sometime this summer when we project to do this. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of work. I will say that. Bring your work boots, because I'm going to put you in the dirt and work you. That's what needs to happen whenever you're going through any of these types of training. You need to get dirty. You know, you need to get sweaty. You need to have a little bit of investment in your training. I think one of the worst, I don't want to say worst because it's still good training, but I think one of the lamest pieces of training that you can do is going to a flat range. An indoor flat range where all you do is stand behind a table booth and you shoot your pistol. I think that's useless. You can still work on, you know, fundamentals of marksmanship, but there's so much more that goes into using that gun than just standing and shooting at a target. You know, it just doesn't work too well. But anyways, we're going to go to a break and we'll be right back.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, you will own nothing and you will love it. And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
All right, welcome back. This is American Vindicta. So I have a few articles to go over with you that I find to be pertinent. For one, there is a coffee shortage in Latin America, which is spelling trouble for U.S. consumers. In Bolivia, on the shaded side of a jungle mountain, local coffee farmer Fernando Jordan points to a row of bushes loaded with a cluster of red berries. If you plant, as he says, if you plant 1 hectare of land here, it will cost you $20,000 to $30,000 to actually produce coffee. Jordan's words strike a chord and reflect one of several problems Latin America's coffee growers face, including a significant spike in demand, supply chain issues, and high operating transport costs. The combination of factors has occurred in lockstep with recent production shortages due to poor harvests, particularly in Brazil, the world's leading grower of the commodity, coffee. Dwindling stockpiles and price hikes per cup made the world sit up and take notice in the first half of 2021 as Brazil struggled with the worst year for coffee production in decades. Prolonged drought conditions in South America's largest country have impacted the entire nation's Arabica coffee crop since the end of 2020, meaning that 2021-22 harvest season was going to be short even before other factors came into play. During July last year, frost events also affected farmers' crops in the Minas Gerais, Sao Paulo, and Paraná growing regions of Brazil. I'm sure someone will correct me on my pronunciation of that. This translates into a shortfall of 13.6 million bags of coffee for the 2021-22 season, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So, it's not just that we're having a problem with poultry, since at least 20 to 30 million chickens have been euthanized because of a supposed bird flu outbreak. And all the other prices are growing up, you know, across the country. The crops are going to, they're going to explode soon if we have this mega drought that's going to happen. And now it's going to be hard to get coffee. God help us. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I joke about that, but many of us are like literally addicted to and reliant upon coffee. So stock up now while you got it. All right, let's go into this next thing. Here's a little bit of sci-fi fun for you. The Army is going to test a swarm of drones, automated drones, in Utah this month. Up to 30 flight devices set to be networked as a part of an interactive drone swarm. The United States Army this month is set to launch a massive swarm of automated drone fighters. Fighters. Do you hear that? Automated drone fighters. A swarm of them. As a part of a major defensive test in the Utah desert. A fleet of Altius 600 and Coyote drones will be air-launched at the Army's Dugway Proving Ground testing facility outside of Salt Lake City. The performance is meant as a test of an expansive use of electronic warfare and an expansive use of our interactive drone swarms, says Army Major General Walter Rugen. Rugen said the Army would be launching the drones monster garage style any way we can. A reference to the Discovery show, or this Discovery Channel show, in which mechanics jerry-rigged vehicles to perform a variety of unexpected tasks. Which again shows, in my mind, just the flexibility of our air launched effects initiative, says Rugen. Because we can launch it from the air, we can launch it from the ground. We can launch it from fixed wing, rotary wing, any type of ground vehicle. That's the end of the article. That's from Just the News. You know, this is what's, I guess you could say concerning once again, right? Our advancements in technology are always for the military first, and then it goes to medical second, and then to consumer third. What do you think the uses for a swarm of drones, armed lethal drones, are for the U.S. government? What application is there for that? Could there be an application in some type of a foreign theater? Absolutely. I can see that. I could see why I would want to launch a swarm of drones to take out an incoming large missile. I could see why I would want to use a swarm of drones to take out an ISIS terrorist cell. You know, the less blood on the field that's spilt, the better, especially when it's our own precious blood. However, just like everything the military does, the other side of the government will take complete control of that. Makes me wonder what the applications are. What uses could there be domestically of a swarm of drones? Stephen King wrote a pretty good book about intelligent drones that were in a swarm, and they could mimic. And it's not just that they could mimic. They were able to mimic the movement of a person. So from a distance, it looked like a person was walking. But these drones moved like dust particles in the wind, I guess you could say. And they were able to eat up just about anything that they came in contact with. And, you know, that's pretty frightening. Michael Crichton. And that book is called Prey, P-R-E-Y. It's an amazing book. I got it on Audible. Michael Crichton's hands down probably like my top three favorite authors to listen to. And it's a very interesting book when you talk about the technology, because Michael Crichton is just amazing when you listen to this man describe technology. Andromeda Strain, Michael Crichton. That's probably like my number two favorite book. It's a terrifying book when you get into it. But our advancements in technology are just traveling leaps and bounds. And eventually we're going to get to this position. And I'm telling you, folks, it can't be far away. You know, I'm not a scientist, but I can see the writing on the wall. And if we do not stop this furious research into artificial intelligence, we are going to be found wanting. And probably wanting to get the hell off this planet whenever AI takes over. You know? Do you have fears about AI? What are they? What do you think AI could be used for beneficially or maliciously? Go to www.AmericanVindictiveShow.com. Send me an email. I'd like to know. You know, I'm consistently asking people to, tell me their thoughts about certain subjects, because I don't know everything, and the experts don't know everything. Even to the guys that come on the show, they don't know everything either. So it's always good that, you know, we collectively ask these questions, because we should be. It's our planet. We live on it. It's our society. So, you know, we should have some sort of stake in it. However, saying that, Friday, I had an interview with L.A. Marzulli. Now, because YouTube is, how can I say this and not sound the way I normally do? Because YouTube has rules and restrictions against free speech. There we go. That's probably better than the curse words I was going to use. The L.A. Marzulli video, because we did do the video interview, will be on my Rumble channel. And that's just American Vindicta Show. It's all one word. So please check that out. L.A. is a hoot. He's a fun person to be around. I first met L.A. in Peru. He was just great. He's a brilliant man. His wife Peggy's extremely sweet. But L.A. is a character. He is a natural born performer. Probably should have been a comedian. But his research into stuff like the Paracas Peru elongated skulls. Man, that's some strange stuff. I held that skull at the Hear the Watchman conference. And, you know, I'm sure you already heard me say it on the air already, but I have giant, huge hands. And this skull literally felt childlike in my hands. All right, it's a replication of the skull. But, you know, you sit there and you look into the orbital eye sockets, and you can just feel like this thing staring back at you, trying to figure out what it looked like. So I think it's interesting. I think it's really, really cool the research that these guys get into. You know, it's straight Indiana Jones stuff. The stuff that L.A. Marzulli and Tim Alberino get to go do, I'm super jealous. I wish I could go do it. Maybe I will one day. Maybe I will. I do plan on one day visiting many of the historical places around the United States, like Gettysburg, and giving you a breakdown of Gettysburg and a breakdown of the Civil War, which has been it's actually been very requested frequently. And I will break down the Civil War. It'll probably take me about a week to do it. There's nothing that I do that I just, haphazardly get into, as you probably know this already. But if you have anything that you want me to, talk about, any good topics, any good ideas that are out there, send them to me. And if I find them to be interesting enough, I'll do my research on it and I'll look into it. I'm still on to the America's Most Unexplained series, which currently, we're talking about UFOs. And I'm going to make that into kind of like a permanent part of the show. So that way I'm not, always talking about prepping or always talking about, politics or war. It just gets very dry. It gets very boring. And you sound like an echo chamber. And by that point in time, I'm reciting something that four or five people have already, talked about. So, I probably don't need to educate many of you on politics. But the cool, the fun, the strange, the mysterious, little creatures and stuff like that, that's really what I'm interested in. I think that stuff's cool as hell. I got some guys that I know, like Jamie Walden. He lives up there in the Four Corners area. And one of these days we're going to get together and we're going to go look at some stuff. And I say stuff with air quotes. And we're going to film it. We're going to do some cool little stuff over it. And I think y'all are going to really like that. But man, I'm telling you, the world is much more mysterious than you think. It's much more interesting than you think. Do yourself a favor. Get out of your phones. Get off the damn internet. Go find a historical marker. Go find, some place that has a really cool history to it. And just go walk around and look at it. Even if you need to print out material. So while you're walking, that's what I do. Print out material. So while you're walking around, you can read about the history of where you're standing at. It's something that we don't need to forget. We need to consistently interject history with today's modernity, because these kids that are growing up now in our schools, they're being taught everything but education. And I know plenty of you parents on there, plenty of you moms that email me all the time about it. It's one of the reasons why my kids aren't in this damn diabolical school anymore. We homeschool. We use a system called Abeka. It's a Christian academy. I like it. It's not expensive. I have gone down the route of trying to figure out how to put my kids in private school. But I don't know if you're any different from me. I can't afford $30,000 a month. Like, it gets stupid expensive when you start to, or $30,000 a year for school. I can't afford that. And I know probably 90% of you can't. So, if you're like me and you're worried about the active shooters, you're worried about the drugs, you're worried about the underage sex, if you're worried about this weird pedophilia crap that's coming out of our teachers' mouths, look into Abeka. I'm not sponsored by them. That would be great, but I'm not sponsored by them, but I'm a huge proponent of their system. It's too easy to have the material sent to you. You have DVDs, and then you play the DVD. The child watches the DVD. You sit there and supervise, obviously, make sure the child's not nodding off. And then you have your workbooks, and then that's it. It's something that can be done at your leisure. Your child can have schoolwork done typically in about 3 to 4 hours. So, if you homestead like I do, if you're at home all the time like I am, especially if you have a spouse who's at home and you have one that works, this is a great system for you. I can't tell you for the amount of years that I have read reports, or we have been briefed on reports of Al-Qaeda or ISIS or some sort of radical extremist who has stated in their manifestos that they will target preschools and the playgrounds and they're going to kill as many of our children as possible. You know, when you've lived the kind of professional life that I have within law enforcement, federal law enforcement, and then you've also been, you know, in the military, you have a different perspective on life. Because you, if you have my type of experience, you understand what humans are capable of doing to other humans. In Iraq, we saw how they were willing to kill children for Allah, for their, you know, their caliphate or whatever. We saw how they would trick pregnant women into strapping bombs on them and walking themselves into our patrols and blowing themselves up. And what the men were doing is because the women couldn't go to heaven. So they told the women one day, and this was about 2007 whenever I first got into Iraq. This is 2007, 2008, if I'm correct, was when we had lost the most coalition forces. So, you know, in most of those soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines that died were from roadside bombs, IEDs, suicide bombs. You know, it changed the entire environment of how we were fighting. And, you know, we saw it. Our FOB got bombed a couple times. You know, it's it changes you when you see stuff like this. Because what I was saying was what the men were doing is they were telling the women, hey, Allah has spoken to me, and if you put this suicide vest on and go kill yourself in front of all those Marines over there and kill a couple of them, you'll be able to go to heaven. And the baby inside you'll be able to go to heaven too. Why'd they say that? Because they were losing the war. Because they were cowards. They wouldn't fight us. So they got innocent people, or they would take mentally handicapped people, or they would, and I've seen it happen. They would handcuff people to the steering wheels and inject them with methamphetamines or some other type of narcotic, and then they would remote control detonate that vehicle that is packed to the gills with explosives once they hit one of our patrols or a checkpoint. That is the type of enemy that cults use, which is why it's so important to observe what happens in history and in war, because those same people are in America. And what's happening in Ukraine can easily become America if we don't prepare for it. Now, I'm going to tell you this before I get off, my personal opinion. My personal opinion of America. We are not going to be able to stop God's judgment. Period. You are not going to Rambo yourself into the White House and arrest Joe Biden and take back control of the country. It is corrupted. You would have to take down the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Vice President, the President. You'd have to take down Langley, which is the CIA, the FBI headquarters. Good luck on any of that, by the way. And then all the military bases across the country who may or may not have, corruption ties. And then you're also going to have to take down the mainstream media. You're also going to have to take down the global platforms like Twitter and Facebook. And then you're going to have to try and change and unbrainwash hundreds of millions of people. Yeah, good luck with that. I wish you the best of luck. But for those of you who email me stupid-ass emails saying that you got your gun, you got your gear, that me and Steve Quayle and Dave Hodges and Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson are a bunch of blowhards and we keep saying we need to take back the country, but we don't all grab arms and then run over to the White House and arrest everybody, citizens arrest, you're either a disinformation agent or you are delusional or both. So if you want to January 6 yourself, by all means, leave my name out of it. I don't want an uprising. I don't want a mob. I don't want a militia. I want none of these things. Never have, never will. Because I know that is not the destiny of America. If it was a foreign invader coming in, hey, I'll be right there with you. But internally in this country, we need to preserve what we have because the other outcome is Ukraine. You know, we cannot spare America for our sins that God is eventually going to say he's coming to call us and we're going to have to suffer for it. Now, we, those who are sealed in the blood of Christ, are not directly going to suffer, but hey, man, isn't everybody going through the COVID thing and the lockdowns? Isn't everybody's kids in these schools with the pedo teachers? Isn't everybody affected by an active shooter? Isn't everybody going through the price hikes and the price gouging? Everybody will go through the pestilence. Everybody will go through the wars. Everybody will go through the famine. And many of us will see the deaths. You're not going to stop that. You yourself can individually prepare. You're not going to save this country. You can prepare as communities. You can prepare individually. But you're not going to save this country. You're not going to save this government. It is quested for God's judgment. And I think many of us are going to be here to witness it. Anyways, that's all I got for you today. Sorry if it was a bit boring and a bit dry. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about religions and the deception of an alien religion. That's going to be a fun conversation. Lots of cults in that one. So anyways, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'm out of here. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.